Welcome to the Seven Figure Practice with Gerda Muller, clinical psychologist and leading private practice success business coach and mentor to allied health professionals.
Hey everybody, Gerda Muller here, private practice success business coach and host of the Seven Figure Practice podcast. I'm also a psychologist as well as your Elevate conference host. Elevate, of course, is coming up in September 2021. Super excited about that. But today I'm recording a podcast for the Seven Figure Practice, and I wanted to share this content with you guys here on socials as well. So today I want to talk about that really, really old chestnut called delegation and the importance of delegation. Now, your brain might immediately be switching off and going, been there, done that, tried it, no, I need to do it, I'm sold on the concept, but it just hasn't been working for me. Sounds familiar? I know that for me personally, delegating appropriately and delegating consistently has been an ongoing challenge. Just when I think, yes, I've got this, I catch myself a couple of weeks later going, I've regressed again. I've gone back to just doing everything myself. And, you know, I need to appreciate that. And I want you to appreciate that in yourself. It's probably one of your strengths that you are a problem solver, that you are a go-getter, that you are somebody that likes to get shit done, right? And therefore you just go, I'm just going to do this myself, right? So easy. But that is the biggest barrier, wanting to do everything yourself. Because when that happens, guess what happens? You get to that place where you are again totally overwhelmed and feel like you do not have time. The number one complaint, in inverted commas, that I get from private practice owners, and this is irrespective of what stage of development their practice is at, whether they're level one, so they're a solo practice owner, or they're level four or five even, where they've got 8, 10, many, many more clinicians, some even multiple locations. Everybody complains, and I say that with love, the word complain, because I complain too about it, talks about not having enough time. And then if this is occurring within the context of being a husband, a wife, a friend, a brother, a sister, a mum, a dad, a sibling, we still have all our social relationships and responsibilities. Again, cue overwhelm, right? Immense overwhelm. And it really becomes part of our story. And even though we are constantly talking about it and saying, I don't want this, I hate this, I don't want to feel like this, I want to get rid of it, we sabotage our own problem solving of this issue by trying to do it all ourselves. It's like such a vicious cycle. And I think it's so important for us to realize that, which is why I'm talking about that again today. All right. So if you can relate and you're watching to this on social media, let me know in the comments, flick me an email, let me know whatever way works for you, okay? Because I really like to hear from you guys as well. And even though this is a podcast, I never want to feel like I'm talking at you. I always want to feel like I'm talking with you. So feel free to reach out to me. All right, so what are we going to do about this? I suggest, if we want to be really practical, you start by writing out all the stuff that is on your to-do list. Now, that might be a scary exercise in and of itself, writing all of that out. For some people, writing it all out is a relief. It makes them feel better. For other people, writing it out actually makes them feel overwhelmed because it becomes very concrete, all the stuff that I haven't done and that I'm supposed to be doing, and what that might mean to you in your mind, whether that is letting other people down generally, letting yourself down, et cetera, right? So be aware that the emotions that comes of doing this activity can go either way. But of course, you need to be convinced that this is worth it going through it, right? So write down everything that is on your to-do list. And then I want you to systematically work through that list, asking yourself the question, who can do this for me? Okay, who can do this? This is what we need to think. We need to think who. You've already done the what, you've written it all out. You need to do who. Now, I know that some of you are going to say, everything on my list, only I can do. That is a mental block. It's not true. I can guarantee you that if you've got 10 things on your list, you will be able to delegate at least 5 of those, at least half. If you can't delegate at least half, you need to really reflect on, journal on what the mental blocks is that's holding you back here. So let's do some examples to help give you clarity. So what I've done, I've actually got into one of my Facebook groups, the Private Practice Success Academy Facebook group. And what we do in there every Monday, we ask people to list down their three main tasks that they are working on in that week so that I can hold them accountable to getting it done. And then on a Friday, they report back and they tell me whether they've achieved it, yes or no. So I went to Monday's list and just to get some examples of what a practice owner is currently having to do, what is on this list. So I've come up with a couple of examples that I've stolen, in inverted commas, from the lists that's in there this week. So the first one said, I need to set up a meeting with my accountant to discuss my tax. So this recording is taking place at the end of March. So it is now tax planning season, of course. So it's really important if you have not done this, that you get your tax planning done with your accountant. You need to book in that appointment. So this is one of the things this person had on their list. So this is most certainly something that you can delegate. If you have a reception, whether that is a virtual reception or an in-person reception, you can tell them, can you please call Will Christie, that's my accountant, at Affinity Partners. This is his number. Please book in a 2-hour meeting. Tell Will it's about the tax planning meeting that we need to have and have a look in my diary. These are the 2 or 3 times that I have available in the next 2 to 3 weeks. Get hold of him, see if you can book it in any of those times. If none of that works for him, come back to me, okay? Delegate it. It's now your reception's job to go and play phone tag with your very busy accountant or to email. I don't care how they do it. I just want it done and I want it booked in on days and times that suits me. So I'm going to direct that process, but I'm going to ask that person to do it. Okay. Of course, if I do not have a reception, this is something that I'm going to have to do for myself. But then you need to ask yourself as well, is it time for you to have a receptionist? Is it time potentially for you to have a VA? And this is that mental block that I spoke about and alluded to about earlier on when I said that if you cannot identify at least half of these things to delegate, there might be certain things that you are deciding not to do that's going to allow you to delegate, such as getting a VA for yourself. So think about that one. The other one was book myself in for a massage. I so love my academy members. Self-care, not burning out, is really high on our priority list. So I also have massages booked in and I asked my PA to book that in for me. And I said, Abby, I need you to book me an appointment every 2 weeks on a Friday, which is my self-care day. I refer to it as self-care Fridays at 1 o'clock. So I don't want to do it early in the day because if I want to do other stuff, I want to have time. So I want to do it between 1 and 2 before the kids come home from school. That means a 1 to 2, 2 to 3, I've just got relaxing time, basking in the glow of my massage at home before the boys get home at 3 o'clock. And then it's weekend. My weekend starts at 3 p.m. on a Friday, right? So I got her to book it in on a day and time that suits me. It's her job now to ensure that I have a consistent fortnightly massage booked in. Again, this is something that you can give to your reception person to do for you. All right. Then the other one was create a marketing brochure. Okay. I love marketing. It's such fun, which means that for me personally, I would get very tempted to do the marketing, right? But doesn't mean I shouldn't do it. I need to look at this marketing brochure that needs to be done within the context of all the other stuff that's on my to-do list, you know, because somebody else can do this marketing brochure. Me as the practice owner, I need to engage in more higher level functions within the business, the strategic thinking, the strategic planning, strategic relationships. That's really what my job is first and foremost as the CEO. Even if it is a small business, right? I'm still the CEO of this little empire, which is my little business, even if it is a team member of one, and that team member is me, right? So if it's a marketing flyer and I'm a practice owner, I might go, okay, who can do this for me, right? Can I, for example, outsource this to somebody on Fiverr and give them a brief of what I want and ask them to do that for me for $10? Can do that, right? Do I ask my 19-year-old daughter, that's me, who's studying psychology, to do it for me, okay, in between her studies? Yes, that's an option too, right? Can I ask my provisional psychologist that I have at the practice? Hell yes, I can ask them. If you are employing psychologists, you can ask them to help as well. Obviously, you want to make sure it's their skill set. And obviously, I'll only ask them to do something like that if they don't have clients to be seen, which doesn't happen that often. But again, I want you to be thinking, what is my mental blocks? Which is why I'm bringing up all the potential people you can delegate to. Because you've got that mental block, like I can't give it to that person because they're too busy or because they don't know how to do it. And we have all these excuses of why we can't delegate. The fact of the matter is, most of the people around you can probably do these things for you if you make the time to teach them, if you put in the effort to teach them how to do this. And I think you owe it to yourself and to them to teach them how to do these things, right? What else? Write up a fee increase letter. Yes. Now this member of the academy is going to use the template that I've given her, right? But she still needs to sit and apply her mind to it. That is something that me as a practice owner, that's one that I'm going to keep with me because it's really important wording, wanting to get it right. Okay. So that one we will keep. Then one is interview for a psychologist. Now, I would probably want to be in that interview as well. But what I will do, especially if I have a group private practice, is either get my practice manager to sit in on this interview with me, or I might get a senior clinician at the practice to sit in with me. You know why? Because it's always good to have an understudy. It's always good to have somebody there that can help you take some of the follow-up tasks off your hands. So for example, if my practice manager is interviewing with me and I interview 5 people, I can ask the practice manager then to send an email out to everybody that has been unsuccessful. I don't have to do it, right? Yes, you can ask that person to do it, whether they've been in the interview or not. But I always go from this place of how can I empower my team? How can I give them new skills that's going to make them more effective at their job and make them develop into other roles potentially? Especially, let's say, if it is a senior clinician sitting in. What if I've got 5 interviews again booked for an interview in 2 months' time? I've now spent time training up my senior clinician to do these interviews. I might fall ill at a drop of a hat. Do I need to cancel all 5 interviews? Hell no, I don't want to do that. We all know how hard it is to find psychologists these days. So then that person can step in and at the very least come up with the top 2 people. And then you only interview those 2 people. We need to start thinking out of the box. We need to drop the mental blocks, challenge our own mental blocks about these things, or else we will stay stuck on this consistent hamster wheel and thinking around, I don't have time. I want you also to tap into the potential of what you can achieve if you actually gifted yourself more time by spending the time initially training somebody else up in how to do these things. Because I know one of your biggest barriers potentially, and that is because I've had this myself, is that little creeping thought and voice in the back of your head that goes, oh, but I can just do it myself. It would be so much faster. It would be so much faster because now I need to have a conversation with the receptionist, tell them what I want done, et cetera, et cetera. You know what? It's worth spending that time having that conversation with the receptionist. currently I can tell my PA, I need you to book X, Y, and Z. And she knows what she can book when and where. She knows that I do not talk to anybody before 11 a.m. because I've got a very set morning routine that I love to do certain things, my non-negotiables in the morning, right? I like to get it done. I also don't like really to have any appointments late in the afternoon because I like to go for an afternoon walk and do homework with the kids. I like to make an early dinner. So she's come to learn what my preferences is. She can even write emails on my behalf. So she would very often draft up emails, send it to me, and I will just read through it, change one or two things, and go, okay, let's send it off. So often, I can't tell you how often Abby actually writes emails on my behalf. And I would tell her, I need to do, and can you do that for me? Yes, send it through. Even Facebook posts, for example, she would draft them up and I would just check them. But this did not happen overnight. Right? I had to sit and make the time, put in the effort to train her to do that. And as you're doing that training, you use that opportunity to put in systems, processes, policies, etc. So the next time you've got a new team member, they can almost train themselves by looking at those documents, right? That's the purpose of having policies, frameworks, processes, systems within your private practice. So my message to you today is, please do yourself the biggest favor that you can, and that is to delegate appropriately and delegate consistently. Thank you so much for joining me. As always, if you are interested to work with me, currently we do have spaces available in the Private Practice Success Academy. And next month, actually, we are talking everything and learning everything about professional policy writing in private practice. And I'm also gifting all the members a range of policies that I use in my own private practice so that you do not have to start from scratch. So really, they've delegated, in inverted commas, all of those to me, and I'm just gifting that to them by being part of that community. So please feel free to reach out via email, via social media, on Facebook, DM me. Would love to see you in there. Have an amazing day, and I can't wait to help you build a private practice you can't stop smiling about. Bye for now.